I needed that help, Laura. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, it's kind of strange for me to just transition from that to preaching, but I guess we'll get right in it. I would invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. I kind of just going to do something a little bit differently this Sunday morning, as I've just been meditating on what to preach and what to talk through this morning in the Word of God. Excuse me. I just thought it might be helpful for us. I know that many of us have been sick and many people have been out with COVID. In fact, our church is pretty thin this morning just because of the disease that's going around, and people are sick. And then with the 10, 14 day quarantine that the health department puts on people, we're pretty thin. And so I thought it might be helpful for us to spend some time looking at sickness this morning. As many of you already know as well, as even Joe had mentioned, our president has come down with corona and the first lady's come down with corona. And I was just thinking about, if they can't keep from getting sick with corona, then who can? Because you know the protocols they have in place for them. But I thought it might be helpful for us if we just kind of took some time this morning from John chapter 11 to just kind of get a theology of sickness. And I'm not going to be able to get into all the different aspects of this. In fact, I have 30 pages here before me this morning, and I've got an hour to get through it. So I'll do my best. But I just wanted to kind of take some time to kind of have us renew our minds on illness and sickness and what is it and how should we approach it from the Word of God, from a biblical perspective. I want to start off by asking you some questions. How do you respond when you become ill? What is the nature of your character like when you get sick? How do you respond? What's your demeanor like? What about when others that you love and care about become sick? How do you respond when they are ill? Do you worry? Do you fret? Do you become anxious? Or maybe you're put out by their illness. Do you get irritated by their illness that they're sick? Or do you see their illness as an opportunity to minister? And how do you respond to someone who comes down with maybe a really serious illness, like maybe cancer or a terminal illness? I would have to say, beloved, there is no time in our lives that presents us with the best opportunity to see what we are spiritually made of than when we become sick or ill, or when someone that we love becomes sick or ill, especially if it's even a terminal illness, an illness that is going to result in their ultimate death. By the way, we all have a terminal illness, right? We all have a terminal illness. When we become sick, when we become ill, this is really a time when we really are tested. We have the opportunity to be tested and to find out what we really are made of spiritually and what we really believe about God. Illness has an opportunity in our lives to teach us about ourselves. It teaches us what we believe about God. It teaches us about what we believe about God's love in our lives. It tests us to really find out whether we trust God's absolute control over every detail of our lives, even down to the virus that maybe infected us. There are many ways in which a believer can respond in times of sickness in their lives. I have seen a vast array of them, even in my own life. I've seen some people respond in anger and hostility. Others respond in fear and anxiety. Others respond in trust, acceptance, and grace, and some just maybe a combination of all those responses. This morning, I want to look at this passage of Scripture and kind of go through kind of a theology of sickness. And we're going to kind of look at like what sickness is, where sickness comes from. And then I want to kind of talk about how we can glorify God in those times of illnesses. This is a fantastic chapter that we are looking at this morning. I'm primarily looking at verses 1 through 6 this morning in John chapter 11 here. This is a fantastic passage about sickness because we come to this passage and we find very clearly that this is a time when a person named Lazarus is sick. Notice verse 1. Notice what it says. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with anointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. This is a fantastic passage, beloved, to help us kind of renew our minds on how we can view illness and sickness in our lives as believers. This passage, I would have to say, gives us a very clear biblical understanding of the purpose of sickness in our lives. The first thing I want you to really notice and that we're just really confronted with at the outset is there is this man named Lazarus who is sick. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick. Literally in the language, it means he was weak. He was literally down. He could literally do nothing. He was probably on his back and unable to do anything. This man named Lazarus. We find Lazarus, we really don't know a whole lot about this person, Lazarus, and what we do know about Lazarus, we find in the Gospel of John. We know that Lazarus was the brother of Martha and Mary. We also know some information about Martha and Mary. What we know mostly about them, we find in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. We learn a lot about Martha and Mary in that passage. You remember that passage, you know, the time when Jesus was traveling and Martha and Mary decided to host Jesus on his journey. And it says in that passage that Martha was really worked up and worried about all the hosting and all the events and all the things that she needed to do to prepare and take care of the Lord as she was hosting him. You remember that time when she had corrected or asked the Lord to correct Mary for her unwillingness to help her. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41 through 42, Jesus responded to Martha and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but the only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. We learn a lot about Martha in that context. We learn that Martha was a bit of a worrier. Martha was one who worried a lot, but we also know that Martha was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this because when she was asked by Jesus in chapter 11, verse 27, you can jump down to verse 27, we know that she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because it says that she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. We know that Martha, even though she was a worrier, was also a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that she worried, but she was a believer and she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also know that Mary was one who also loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Because look at verse 2. It very clearly says that it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. This calls us to the attention of John chapter 12, where it says that Mary literally worshiped the Lord with costly perfume. You can look at chapter 12, verse 3, and you can see that account there. John is bringing back to the attention to his readers of Martha's knowledge and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary's love and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 12, verse 3, we know that Mary was a worshiper of the Lord because it says that Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Martha and Mary were worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that the perfume that she had wiped and bathed the Lord in was worth about 300 denarii. That would be considered about 1 year's worth of wages. It gives you an understanding of how much Mary loved the Lord and how much Martha loved the Lord. But not only did Mary, Martha, and Lazarus love the Lord, we know that all three of these people were deeply loved by the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 5. I love this verse. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Not only did they love the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ loved them. And he loved them dearly. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. And he loved Lazarus. And what I want you to see is that even in the midst of the Lord's love for them all, notice Lazarus gets sick. He gets sick. Verse 1, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. That's a great point. That just because Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were loved by the Lord, it did not exempt them from sickness and illness. It did not mean that as God's people, that they could somehow escape suffering and sickness just because the Lord loved them didn't mean they were exempt from the illnesses and the sicknesses of this world. And I want you to notice verse 3, that even in the midst of the sickness, notice it says verse 3, it says that Jesus loved Lazarus even though he was sick, and Lazarus was loved by the Lord, and yet he was sick. Notice it says, so the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Can you hear the plea and the cry to the Lord? What we learn from this, beloved, in this passage on sickness is we learn that believers can and do get sick. Even believers that are deeply loved by the Lord, like Lazarus was, and like Martha and Mary were, just because a person is loved by the Lord does not mean that they can escape sickness. You know, there are some people, there are some Christians, there are some people in this Christendom that think that Christians should never get sick. And that if you're sick, it somehow means that the Lord doesn't love you, or it somehow means that you don't have a strong enough faith to overcome the sickness. But you see, we understand that sickness is something that all mankind gets and goes through. Both the righteous and the unrighteous. This is something that is very clear to us living in a fallen world. This is the result of living in a fallen state. This is the result of Adamic sin. The consequences of sin have rolled through this humanity from Adam, and that is one of those aspects is sickness and death. Romans chapter 5 verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. You see, all mankind suffers the consequences of Adamic sin. And not only mankind, but the whole creation. Romans 8:21 says that the whole creation is groaning and longing to have the sons of God be revealed because of this corruption of decay. Suffering and sickness, illness and death are a part of life in this earth. Illness is a fact of life that we all face. living in a sin-cursed world, all people will ultimately become sick, and all people will ultimately become physically dead. And this is because the human body is sin-cursed. Everyone's body is in a state of decay and decline. Aging and illness and death is something that every person experiences, and no one has ever been able to stop that issue except the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the richest people on the planet cannot stop themselves from getting sick. I think of Steve Jobs. You remember when he came down with cancer? I'll never forget this. And I'll never forget thinking this as a believer. Here's this man who's literally the richest man on the planet, Steve Jobs, the owner, the founder of Apple, and he comes down with cancer. And don't you think that he threw the best money that he had at his illness to save his life, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And that's because there are problems with the body, beloved, that ultimately cannot be cured. Doctors, physicians, scientists are not able to solve all the problems. They can help us. They can alleviate some of the symptoms. They can help us for a time, but they ultimately can't stop aging, and they can't stop death, and no amount of wealth can stop it. A person can throw all kinds of money at it, but unable to stop it. The main reason why people get sick and even die is because of Adamic sin, sin that is passed to every person on the planet because of Adam's sin and disobedience to God. But there's another reason why people become sick, and that is because of personal sin. Not just Adamic sin, but personal sin. And what I mean by that is sin that we commit personally in our lives. Sickness and suffering can come upon people because they violate God's moral principles. And this can happen as well, both to the righteous and the unrighteous. I remind you of Pharaoh and the Egyptians when God smote them with illnesses because of their disobedience. God can use illness and sickness to afflict unbelievers because of their unbelief and because of their personal sin against a holy God. And God can use illness in the lives of believers to discipline and sanctify His people. Job chapter 5 verse 17 says this, "Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the Almighty, for He inflicts pain and He gives relief. He wounds and His hands also heal." God can bring illness into the lives of His people because of personal sin in their lives. Like He did with King Hezekiah when he became proud in 2 Kings chapter 20. Or like God did when He struck David and Bathsheba's infant with sickness in 2 Samuel 12. Or like God promised sickness to the nation of Israel if they were disobedient to His moral commands in Deuteronomy 28. Or like God gave sickness to the Corinthian church because of their disobedience and sin against Him in the communion elements. God can and does use illness to discipline His people when they are willfully disobedient to His commands, when they are willfully and persistently going against His ways. God can use illness and sickness. Not only does sickness come through Adamic sin, and it comes through personal sin, but there's another reason why people become sick, and that's because of the natural consequences of sin. And what I mean by this is sickness that comes as a consequence of violating God's natural laws that He's put in place. For example, gluttony. God has given us the blessings of food, but if we eat too much, it can result in obesity, and obesity can result in heart disease and diabetes. God has built the body in such a way that if you violate its natural functions, you can get sick. or even immoral or perverted sexual activity can result in physical sickness, like violating the natural function of human sexuality can result in sickness with STDs and HIV and AIDS as some of the results of violating God's natural laws. Or even alcohol abuse. A person who is addicted to alcohol and excessively drinks can result in liver damage or can even result in a weakening of the immune system. Sickness can be a part of just a violation of the natural laws that God has put in place in regards to our bodies. There's another reason why sickness exists in a person's life. It can come from Adamic sin, personal sin, or a violation of the natural consequences of sin. But there's another reason, and that is called psychosomatic illnesses. Psychosomatic, psycho meaning psuche, means the mind or the soul or the spirit, and somatic, or from the word soma, which refers to the body. These are illnesses that come as a result of sinful thinking. These are symptoms of sickness that can come from a person's thinking, or what I like to call unbiblical responses to life. For example, how a person responds to a trial in their life can cause their body to react in a certain way. If a person is anxious about something that's happening in their life, their body can react to being anxious. Their mouth may become dry. Or their heart rate may increase to the point that even maybe they're having chest pains where they feel like they're literally having a heart attack. In fact, I've known people that have had this happen to them where they feel like they're having a heart attack and they go into the hospital thinking they're having a heart attack. But when the doctors check them out, there are no signs of heart attack. They're just having what is called commonly a panic attack. It's a psychosomatic illness that comes from the mind and the thinking. These are symptoms of sickness that the body experiences that are caused by a person's thinking. The person experiences the pain and the feelings are real, but there's no medical sign of damage or body tissue damage. These are just psychosomatic illnesses that are caused by wrong thinking in the mind. This is something, beloved, it's interesting. This person, Dr. Robert Smith, in the Medical Desk Reference Research, he says this. He says, research consistently documents that as many as 50% of patients coming to their primary care physician have psychosocial or psychosomatic precipitants rather than medical problems. These are people who have symptoms of sickness because of their thinking. But these are the many reasons why people get sick. Comes from Adamic sin, comes from personal sin, willful sin, violating natural laws, and sinful thinking. But that said, in all these reasons for sickness and illness, we must remember, beloved, that not all sickness is a result of personal sin. That's a key point, beloved. We must be careful of this. Job is a classic example, beloved. He was sick. Boils were all over his body from head to toe. But it was not because of Job's personal sin. It was because of God's purpose in his life. God had a plan for Job's illness, and it was to put his glory on display in Job's suffering. Job 1:8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Job's sickness was not the result of his personal sin. Sickness is definitely a result of sin, but we must be careful that we don't make the same mistake that Job's friends made with him and attributed his sickness as a result of some sin in his life. We have to be wise about that. We need to discern carefully with this. We are not God. We cannot know all the reasons why a person might be sick or why they are going through this illness or whatever they are facing. We want to be gracious. We want to be loving. We want to be kind. And beloved, I have to say, it's interesting. People become very proud when it comes to illnesses and sicknesses. Oh, you know, I've never been sick ever a day in my life. Or, you know, well, maybe you're sick because of something that you're doing wrong in your life. Beloved, we have to be very wise about this. A person's sickness might be the result of a person's sin in their life, but we don't know all the details of that. We have to be careful in judging such. We must be careful that we don't take a self-righteous attitude towards those who are not feeling well or why they are feeling sick or why they are going through a sickness. Only the Lord knows. And the Lord has a good purpose in all that he does, which is the case here in the life of Lazarus. Look at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany. Notice it doesn't say why Lazarus was sick. At a minimum, we know that Lazarus was sick because of Adamic sin. This was the sickness that was passed through humanity as a result of the fall. We know that Lazarus was sick, and Lazarus became sick like people do every day. It's part of living in a sin-cursed world. And based on the text, we know that Lazarus' sickness was a very serious sickness because it caused his sisters to send word to Jesus to inform him of Lazarus' condition. Verse 3, so the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. They sent word to Jesus because this was a serious illness. But all this happened, beloved, because there was a greater purpose in Lazarus' sickness. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but notice, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. The purpose behind Lazarus's illness was for what? The glory of God? What a statement, beloved, that is. Think that through. The purpose of Lazarus' sickness was for the glory of God? Beloved, this is a text of scripture that can help all of us and has much to teach us in those times of illness and sickness, and especially in times of terminal illness. It is to teach us and instruct us how to handle illness and suffering and sickness in our lives. That sickness and suffering in the life of the believer is ultimately for what? The glory of God. The glory of God. That God would be glorified in sickness. That the Son of God would be glorified in our suffering and sickness. Verse 4, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now that raises a question. Have you ever thought of illness in that way? Have you ever considered that when you as a believer become sick, that the ultimate purpose and the ultimate goal in your sickness is for the glory of God? I can honestly say it's not something that I often think of when I am sick. If you're like me, all I can think about is get well, get well, get well. I want to get well. And sometimes when I think about not getting well, it can put me in a state of panic. But here we learn, beloved, that God brings illness into our lives so that he can put his glory on display in your life, in my life. And beloved, this is what God is in the business of doing. God is all about the glory of his name. All that God does is for his glory. Isaiah 48 verse 11, God speaking, for my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned? And my glory I will not give to another. God is in the business of bringing glory to himself, and he has created us to bring glory to himself. Isaiah 43 verse 7, and we can bring glory to God when we are healthy, and we can bring glory to God when we are sick and ill, like he does with Lazarus. Our whole purpose as God's people, beloved, is to strive to bring God glory, whether we are healthy, whether we are sick, or even in our death, like it says of Peter, that he would glorify God in his death. We are to use our bodies to bring God glory. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Notice, it doesn't mean just in health. It means even in sickness. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20 says this. Paul saying this, he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ, even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Your whole life is to bring glory to God. And you can bring glory to God in any situation, beloved, in any situation, in any kind, in any health crisis, in any environment. You can bring glory to God. And no doubt, when you're sick, maybe your wattage, so to speak, like a light bulb, maybe your wattage isn't burning as bright as it normally would when you're healthy, but if it's still burning, it can bring glory to God. Our whole lives are to bring glory to God, and God is in the business of putting his glory on display, like he did in the situation with Lazarus, a situation that could only be lifted by supernatural power, the supernatural power that could raise Lazarus from the dead. And though we're not at the same level as Lazarus was, where God put himself on display by raising Lazarus from the dead to teach everyone that he's the resurrection and the life, we can still use our illnesses to bring glory to God. You can bring glory to God in sickness. But if you're going to bring glory to God in your sickness, there's some things you need to wrap your mind around, beloved. The first thing that you need to wrap your mind around, if you're going to bring God glory in your illness, is you need to realize that the primary objective when you are sick is not to get well. It's not to get well. The primary objective when you become sick is to glorify God. It's to glorify the Lord. That's not to say that you shouldn't pursue getting better. That's not to say you shouldn't seek feeling better. But we must keep this in mind, that the greater goal in illness must be the pursuit of the glory of God. It must be the pursuit of how you can give glory to God in the midst of your sickness and suffering. We even see this in verse 6. Because when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, it says that he stayed 2 days longer. Look at verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He didn't go to Lazarus and heal him upon getting the news, nor did he heal Lazarus from where he was. He could have done that as well. He certainly had the power to do this. In fact, Jesus healed the centurion's son from a distance in Matthew 8, verse 6. But with Lazarus, Jesus wanted to wait two more days. Two more days. Why did he do this? Why did he wait? It was for the glory of God, to put his glory on display through the sickness of Lazarus. Beloved, we must have the same perspective in times of illness and difficulty. We need to understand that illness doesn't come into our lives just so that we can get better. Illness comes into our lives as an opportunity for God to be glorified in our sickness. And this is so important for us to realize, because when we make getting well the primary objective, then we can fall prey to sin and charlatans in our lives. We've all heard the stories of those who've been sick and ill with debilitating sicknesses, and they become more susceptible to pseudoscience, and they become more susceptible to charlatans and faith healers. They even become susceptible to going at any length to get well, spending all their money, getting rid of all of their resources just so that they can find a cure. Makes me think of the woman in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25. It says that a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. She did everything she could to get well. The question that needs to be asked is, what is most important in our illnesses? Is it getting well? Is it being free of pain? Or being more like the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can reflect his glory even more in our sicknesses? The primary goal cannot be getting well, because if it's getting well, then guess what? If getting well is the primary objective, then guess what? The glory of God takes second place to getting well, and then you're more susceptible to sin if you don't get well. There's another key truth that we must keep in mind if we're going to bring glory to God in times of illness. And that is, when we become sick, we must remember, beloved, that it does not mean that God has stopped loving us. This is so critical. Such an important principle. I think we're tempted to think that when we become ill, and especially, can you imagine how Lazarus felt? And especially knowing that word was sent to Jesus and he just continued to decline. And you can imagine how Martha and Mary felt. They sent word to Jesus and Jesus delayed and nothing happened. You can imagine how they were tempted to think that somehow God did not love them in that time, or that Jesus had forgotten them, or maybe they were even tempted to doubt that Jesus could do anything about it. But just because Jesus delayed didn't mean they weren't loved by Christ. Look at verse 5. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Staying longer and not healing Lazarus didn't mean that Jesus didn't love them. He still loved them. Such a good reminder for us, beloved. If you've ever experienced a severe illness, really severe illness, does it not cause you to doubt God's love for you? Let this passage be a great anchor to the soul. Jesus is with you. Jesus loves you, even in the midst of your sickness. And his love doesn't vacillate upon the performance of his saints. His love is unchanging. It is steadfast. It is everlasting. And just because you or a loved one become ill, it does not change God's love for you. What a great principle for us. We have to keep in mind that sickness and illness comes into our lives so that God can put His glory on display. And beloved, there are a multitude of ways that we can display the glory of God in times of suffering and sickness. There are a multitude of ways that we can do this. Let me give you a few of them. First of all, sickness is an opportunity for you to glorify God by depending more on Jesus Christ in your illness. We even see this in verse 3 of our text. Notice what it says. It says, the sister sent word to Jesus saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Lazarus became sick, the sister sent word to Jesus to get help. They knew that his sickness was serious. And what were they doing? They were relying upon Jesus Christ to help them in their dire situation. Sickness is a great way to draw out our hearts to depend more on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the midst of the illness, they still had to trust Christ. They still had to trust that Christ knew what was best. They had to trust that he could heal Jesus. And they had to trust that he would give him the grace to get through the illness and give them the grace to get through the illness with their brother. And this is key, beloved. This is why, beloved, the hope of the believer in sickness is not necessarily getting well. The hope of the believer is literally God and His grace. His grace. That God will give you the grace and the strength and the victory, even in your illness, and that God can use your sickness to demonstrate His grace and His power and to help you get to it, through it, to the glory of God. I'm always reminded of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. It says, concerning this, Paul said, I implored the Lord 3 times that this thorn in the flesh might leave him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Illness is a great opportunity to depend on Christ and glorify God through your dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another opportunity that sickness gives for us to give glory to God, and that is it reveals the weaknesses of our faith and shows where you need to grow so that you can give God more glory in your illness and your suffering. We see this with the disciples' response, beloved. You know, when the disciples hear about Lazarus' sickness, even this sickness of Lazarus draws out their heart and reveals some of the weaknesses of their hearts. Notice what it says in verse 8. Jesus wants to go and put the glory of God on display in the resurrection of Lazarus. And then look at verse 8. The disciples say this. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Rabbi, you're going to go down and you're going to heal Lazarus, and the Jews were trying to kill you? You know what they're really saying? They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. Verse 11, and Jesus said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Notice the disciples, verse 12, the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. You know what they're saying? In other words, they're saying, he'll get better, Lord. Let's just stay safe here. It's all going to be okay. Let's just take care of ourselves here. There's no better time, beloved. No better time to have the weaknesses of your heart revealed than through sickness, whether it be yourself or a loved one. The disciples should have been more concerned about the glory of Christ and the manifestation of the glory of Christ than their safety. And they should have been more concerned about ministering to Lazarus and his family than worrying about their own potential harm. But this was an opportunity. This sickness drew out the weaknesses of their hearts and allowed them to opportunity to see their weaknesses so they could grow in their love for the Lord and their love for others. Sickness also gives us the opportunity to glorify God by being righteous and godly in the midst of sickness and suffering. This is another one that is such a great opportunity for us. When you are sick, beloved, you can put the glory of God on display by being godly in your illness. You know, when you're at your worst, when you feel your worst, physically, that is a great opportunity to demonstrate godliness and holiness. You know, it's really easy to be rude, selfish, and ungodly in illness and sickness, but being Christ-like in your illness, that is what puts the glory of God on display. When you are able to be thankful for your illness, when you are able to be loving and patient and gracious in your illness, these are ways to glorify God in your sickness. Especially when you have those times with those healthcare workers that just don't seem to care or are non-responsive to your pain or to your loved one's pain, you can still be godly and gracious. Opportunities to put the glory of God on display in times of illness. There's another way you can glorify God in your illness. When you are sick, you can put the glory of God on display by serving others in your sickness. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that when I'm on my back and there's nothing I can do? I'm really sick. Well, pray. What about praying for people? You can always pray for people. You can pray for people when you're sick and when you're suffering. Like Jesus did when he suffered on the cross. You remember how he was hanging on the cross and he still continued to pray for people. Luke 23, verse 34, he prayed. It says that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He was praying for the salvation of sinners who had crucified him. And in John 19, verse 25 through 26, we learn that Jesus even ministered to his mother while he was hanging on the cross. He told his mother on the cross to live with the apostle John, and he told John to minister to his mother even while he was hanging on a cross. Illness is an opportunity to honor the Lord. It is a time when we can serve others, even at a minimum prayer. And lastly, there's another way for the glory of God to be put on display in sickness. And that is in sickness, we can have the opportunity for the evangelism of the lost. God may use your sickness to reach the lost. You know, this is what he did with Lazarus. It didn't just affect Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and the disciples. It had an effect on the lost. Jump down to verse 45. Notice what it says. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done, notice, they believed in him. You know, God might use your illness as an opportunity to share Christ. I was thinking about this with my sister. You know, my sister came down with cancer and she went through the treatments for over a year, and it was quite a process. And I just was even talking with her not too long ago, and she was talking about the opportunities that the Lord gave her to share Christ with those people while she was taking chemotherapy, with people who were also taking chemotherapy who were not believers. You just don't know how the Lord might use your illness to evangelize the lost. I was even thinking of my dear pastor MacArthur, John MacArthur. I'll never forget this. When we were out at Grace Community Church, he had a blood clot go from a knee surgery up into his lungs, and he became very, very ill to the point where he almost passed away from it. He was very close to death. But God used him in that time. He used him and gave him an opportunity to share the gospel with his physician, his doctor. And the story has it that the doctor came to Christ and came to the church even after this illness. And I'll never forget it because John had just started the Gospel of Luke, which is the writer, the beloved physician, Luke. And I'll never forget it. That doctor came there that very first time that John started that Gospel of Luke, and that doctor came to Christ. You never know, beloved, how the Lord might use an illness in your life. Your illness doesn't just affect you. It affects others, and it's always an opportunity to witness and glorify the Lord. So, beloved, how do you respond when you are sick or others are sick? I pray that this causes you to kind of think through those times as opportunities for God to use your illness to put himself on display in your life, especially when you're not feeling well or when you're very sick and suffering. You know, there's one thing, however, one opportunity that I think illness does for us at a great level. You know, of all the things that I think about when I think about being ill, the one thing that the Lord gives us opportunities to glorify the Lord in our illness is our illnesses give us an opportunity to look forward to the new heavens and the new earth and the resurrected body. That is what ultimately it does. As I said, beloved, we all have a terminal illness. All of us are going to die. But where we're left with this account of Lazarus is we're left with this hope of a resurrected life. We are left with this hope of a resurrected body in a glorified state, in a new heavens and a new earth where we will co-reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And that ultimately is what sickness does. It allows us to want to let go of this world and be willing to embrace the new world that is coming. In fact, Jesus leaves us with a very fantastic reminder of this in the resurrection. Notice verse 25 and 26 of chapter 11. Notice what it says. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And then notice what he says. "Do you believe this?" That is our hope, beloved. I pray that this passage on Lazarus being sick gives you just a renewal of your mind to kind of have a fresh approach to illness. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you so much for the hope that we have in verse 25 and 26. Lord, you are the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in you will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in you will never die. And Lord God, that is our hope. And Lord God, we believe this. Lord, I pray for anyone who is here this morning who maybe doesn't believe that or doubts that hope. I pray, Lord God, that you would grant them a faith and a repentance that leads to life. Anyone, Lord God, who might listen to this sermon and maybe they are struggling with a severe illness or maybe even a terminal illness, I pray, Lord God, that you would use those verses to set in their heart the hope of eternal life with you. You are the resurrection and the life. Clearly, Lord, this life is not all there is. There is a far better life coming in a glorified state with you. And it is to that that we look forward to. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I give you a benediction before we close our service. It's one of my favorite benedictions. Jude 1 verse 24. It says this: "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great rest of the Lord's day.